Second hour of 2 hours of Jewish soul music. This is Charlie Bernhout, and hoping that you enjoyed the first hour. It was a mixture of some interesting music, and I'll be playing more about the nigunim from that incredible collection. Before I get to the Chazonis, just let me tell you that the Kumsitz this past the Motzi Shabbos at Westside Institutional Synagogue was just such a delight. It really was, and you can't imagine what you missed. For those of you who weren't there, it was over 3 hours. Nobody wanted to leave. Of course, Zevi Muller. I'm just going to go through the list very quickly because it was a great lineup of known and unknowns. David Guber, and Daniel Schwartz, you know, Yisrael Kupchik, Shlomo Geffen, the son of Cantor Moshe Geffen, Elliot Yavne, George Hirschfield, Eric Stern, Chaim Kiss, of course, Danny Gildar was at the piano, Cyrus Abbey from Westside Institutional. He had a very interesting selection. Hashi Brody, Yoni Rose, an opera student at the University of Maryland, Asha Sharf, Avram Sharabi, Pinchas Cohn, our dear friend, and Shimon Kugel and Joel Kaplan, and Robert Weiss. Robert Weiss was terrific. And they were just, and Eugene Flom, of course. It was such a delightful gathering of people who came out to hear a variety of Chazanim and Chazonists, and some Yiddish. And I am so pleased that the reception was so wonderful. Okay, let's get to the Chazonis. I'm going to play one selection and then to a very, very interesting interview that I did yesterday. I hope your latkes came out as good as mine today. Not a few hundred. I made maybe 100, 150 today. And I'm ready to go into the business. Well, let's hear the classic Kiddush of Kop of Kagan. We haven't heard that for quite a while. Kop of Kagan, Benzion Kop of Kagan.
Zikaron, Zikaron, Zikaron. let me cry, cry at her.
Shabbat Kodesh Chol. we have all grown fine in heart, oh no. Oh, wrong, I thought the
classic Cop of Coggin. I just want to go back to that Kumsitz for a second. I cannot praise Danny Gildar enough. There were 17 different presenters. Two of them, I believe, had contacted him and gave him a clue as to what they were singing. But all the rest got up there and went over and he said, what key? And he played a couple of notes, and there he was, brilliant. And Danny is just so great. And I mentioned Eric Stern. Yes, Eric was there also. It was a wonderful evening. Okay, now to interview, which just took place last night. I'm very pleased to have with me Miriam Grummet, who I had the pleasure of meeting at the West Side Institutional Synagogue with her husband Shia. She told me about her father, who was a rabbi and a cantor, and it's a fascinating story, and we're going to be hearing some of his outstanding cantorial selections. But let's say good evening, Miriam.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Okay, so it's a fascinating story about your dad. Why don't you tell us about Rabbi Chazan Hermann Lieber?
Okay, he was born in Germany in Nuremberg in 1901, and he was a chazan in Germany, in Hamburg. And as a matter of fact, he was a chazan at the same time as Yesler Rosenblatt was a chazan for a time in Hamburg, and there were two big shuls. My father was chazan in one of them, and he was another, and we have pictures of both of them strolling down the street. And we came to America in 1939 after Kristallnacht. My father went to shul in the morning and saw what happened, and he went into hiding. And he hid in a cemetery for 3 days. My mother used to bring him food. And then he went into a hospital, and he had a friend who was a doctor, and he said he'll make up his leg like it was broken, and he put him in a cast, and he stayed there for a while. But after a while he had to leave because they had a law in Germany that nurses couldn't be in the same building as young Jewish males.
Wow.
And so he had to go, and we had to obviously get out of there. During that time the Gestapo had come to our house and was asking for my father. After Kristallnacht they were arresting Jewish men. They let some of them go at that time, but they were not arresting the women or the children. And so my mother said, you know, she doesn't know where he is, and if she finds him, to send him home, because she has no idea he's been missing. And so they left, and they and then afterwards my father came home, and my mother went down to the Gestapo and said that, you know, you really don't know what you're doing, because don't you remember you threw him down the stairs and he broke his leg because he still had the cast on. And so they let him go at that time. They let us go, and we left as soon as we could. And the reason at that time you needed to have exit visa numbers, you needed a number. And my father was German, and he would have had a very high number, but my mother was Swiss, and so we had a very low number, one, you know, 3 or 4 or something like that.
Wow.
So we were able to get out, and we left. I'm told we left in the middle of the night. We snuck out, and the neighbor, who couldn't bear it, you know, helped us go out, and we went to Switzerland. And we were there for half a year. And the reason we were there for half a year was because we had all our stuff and we were going on a ship from Belgium, and in order to get to Belgium from Switzerland, you had to go pass through France. And in order to pass through France, you needed some sort of papers. And the French consulate would not give it to Jews. And so it took us half a year to get those papers.
Wow.
And then we came to America, and my father, who had a smicha, he was a rabbi, then he started a shul. Was made up German immigrants. And
Where was the shul?
In Washington Heights, Havas Torah on 160th Street. And he had a choir there, and he was rabbi and a chazan and the head of the Hebrew school. And he used to take, even though he didn't speak English, he would take the children to baseball games to Americanize them. We were all immigrants. We spoke German in the streets. My friends were Verna and Helen and Ingrid and these names.
Wow.
And he would take them to concerts and to Americanize them. And he did really everything. It was fantastic. And he made this record in 1962, I believe. And it was a memorial to Kristallnacht. And the record was sold out. Every German bought it. And years ago, he made this. And then he died in 1980. And I had the record, and I really wanted to make a tape of it, you know, to put it on a CD.
Uh-huh.
And I had it. I had that done, and you know, we made a cover for it, and I made some copies, and I really, his idea was to preserve the Jewish German Jewish tradition of music, which is very I love it. It's very beautiful. It's very unique, and very different from the Chazanus that is around today, and his point was to preserve it. And I would like to read what he wrote, you know, on the...
Sure,
I have it on the pullout of the record. He writes, this album consists of popular melodies which were sung in the former communities of Hamburg, Hanover, Frankfurt am Main, Nuremberg, Würzburg, and many others. 25 years ago, this is when the record was made, November 10th, 1963, marks the 25th anniversary of the burning of synagogues in Germany. The infamous Kristallnacht, when temple pillars collapsed, altars burst apart, and hundreds of houses of worship and holy Torah scrolls were thrown into the gutter by defiled hands. Almost 2,000 years ago, Jews have lived near the Rhine River before the Germans settled there and continued to live there until the Shoah. On that memorable date, November 10th, 1938, 25 years ago, the work and accomplishment of many generations were completely demolished in one night. Shortly thereafter, great suffering befell our people, tragedy so overwhelming that all horrors previously experienced by Jews of any era could not compare to it. They could shatter stones, destroy wood and bricks, but never Jewish ideals. They were able to break our bodies, but could not break either our souls nor the spirit of the Jewish synagogues, as they are expressed in the melodies which accompany the Jew on all occasions throughout the year. The purpose of this album is to save Zemiros Ashkenaz from oblivion, a memorial to the victims who gave their lives for the